The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 94, and you know what that means?
What's that?
You're going to be feeling a draft this week.
Ooh, drafty in here.
It's very good when I can craft around that, and then you play off of it. Yes, sir.
Craft, draft. Ooh. We're rhyming today on Canescast.
And then you'll be in Vancouver where there are many fine craft drafts for you to partake in.
Hmm. I see what you did there.
Enjoy.
They do have some good ones, though I'm not sure how much time there will be to enjoy said beverages because it'll be a busy weekend for the Carolina Hurricanes at the 2019 NHL Draft in Vancouver. The Hurricanes with one of, I think, four teams with 10 picks. And that's really interesting to me because here's a team in the Carolina Hurricanes that just made a run to the Eastern Conference Final and figures to be a perennial playoff contender, figures to have themselves set up to be a perennial playoff team, and they're coming into this draft with 10 picks, and I think Columbus has maybe two. They might show up and call a few names out and then leave.
Columbus doesn't have to draft until halfway through Saturday. They have a third round pick and they have a seventh round pick.
They can show up. They can
that's it.
Go to dinner on Friday, go to lunch on Saturday.
They can do brunch on Saturday if they wanted to. Make a whole day of it. Stroll in. Who's on the board? We'll take this guy.
Yeah, we'll take that guy. And then he's a Blue Jacket.
There you go.
I think we could maybe I'll venture down to the table and see what's happening with Columbus.
Say hi to Jarmo Kekäläinen for me. Yeah. Make that happen. But of course, the concern is what the Carolina Hurricanes are going to do. And we've gone down this road a lot so far here in the very short offseason, which is a good thing, by the way, for all of us. But we've gone down this road a bit. What can we expect the Canes to do? And I keep going as the broken record for it, but it's a good broken record to be that the Canes can do whatever they want with these picks. They can do whatever they see fit. If there's a player that they absolutely positively want to take at 28, they can go ahead and do that. If there is somebody who is itching to move up, who needs to dump some salary, and they figure that they can get some picks from the Canes and kind of replenish their farm system, that opportunity is there for Carolina, considering what they've got four picks in the top 60, Michael.
Yeah, if I've got four in the correct. Top 59 to be exact. They have 28, 36, 37, and 59. And that the 36, 37 is very interesting, I think, because it's so early in that second round, a round where Sebastian Aho was picked. He was 35. Yep. That gives the Hurricanes a lot of options because you can either use them to pick back-to-back picks, which I got a chance to talk to Darren York, the director of player personnel, last week, and asked him about, you know, how do you approach making back-to-back picks? And he said, you know, it's really no different than if you were picking 36 and 59 because you have your draft list and you're simply going down and picking the best available player. So at 36 and 37, the Hurricanes are just going to look at their list, find the top two picks, and basically make those picks. What'll be interesting is if they hold on to both of those picks, because those are going to be very valuable in terms of being able to package them to perhaps move up in the first round or move back in the second round or maybe acquire a player, because the Hurricanes are not strangers to these draft day deals. Last year, obviously, the one with bringing Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland and the rights to Adam Fox to Carolina, that was the really the biggest move of the draft other than the Hurricanes selecting Andrei Svechnikov second overall. So a lot of options for the Hurricanes this year, and that's a good thing to have.
And the other thing about those options that the Canes do not have to specifically draft to need. And folks, I'd love to sit here and tell you that with the 28th pick, you can get a top six guy. I don't know, because the NHL draft has shown me throughout the years that once you really get out of the lottery, you know, and even I could say the top 10, you have just as good of odds drafting a player 15 to 20, 20 to 25, 25 to now 31, that all can make the NHL. And then, because we've seen the story, you mentioned Sebastian Aho, for years what the Detroit Red Wings were able to do in those later rounds, you can grab a guy who's just as effective, if not more so, in rounds 2 through 5 that you do with picks 15 to 31. And I'm not trying to devalue those picks. I'm just saying that you get to the point of if you're drafting for a need in those slots, you're generally not going to get what you want. And the Canes, because of the way that this team is built and the way that the farm system has so much depth right now, the Canes can literally do what you just said Darren York told you that they want to do. We have our list, and we follow our list. So it's not like if the two best players that they have after pick 28, so what, picks 36 and 37,
mm-hmm.
if the two best players they have, although majority owner Tom Dundon has gone on record saying that he does not want to draft a defenseman in the first round or second round or maybe ever. I know he was joking with part of that. You're going to have to draft him at some point. But if your next two picks are the two best defensemen in that's what's on the board, you take them.
Yep.
But then again, the rest of the league knows this too. So that's where those picks become more important than just the player. They become capital in getting something else. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Don Waddell in the Hurricanes be what they were last year on draft day, and that's active with other teams yeah. and perhaps making a deal.
There, I had a chance to speak with Don Waddell last week at the Hurricanes' trip to the executive mansion. Shout out to Governor Roy Cooper, by the way. I don't think he listens to Canes Cast. But
oh,
if,
he does.
Well.
Well, first
hello,
off.
Hello, Governor.
He has to. Thank you,
hello,
Governor.
Hello, Governor.
Well, not British. and he should, because and we should listen to everything he says. Did you not see his picks for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I know. When I saw him fill out the bracket, I was like, I don't know about that. But turns out he knows more than the rest of us do.
He does.
So, but they had us out, the Hurricanes out to the executive mansion last week. Very kind of the Coopers. And Don Waddell was saying that this draft is... he's no stranger to making draft day deals. He's been through a lot of these. You know, last year was kind of his first as the Hurricanes acting general manager, but he's been through it quite a bit with the Thrashers in the early 2000s. So he knows exactly sort of how to work the floor
yep.
on draft day.
Yep.
And he said talks have been somewhat active in these last couple of weeks and maybe sort of a feeling out process between
yep.
teams trying to figure out, you know, who's willing to move, who's willing to maybe explore some options. So the Hurricanes are certainly going to be in that mix. I think you have to figure that they're going to be in that mix because when you consider pick 28, pick 36, pick 37, if the Hurricanes don't really like something on the board there, they can easily drop back a bit and maybe acquire something for those picks. So it's what it boils down to, having 10 draft picks, is 10 darts to throw at a board. You're hoping that at least one of them hits bullseye with a prospect. But if you're not tossing them all at the board, you're using them to acquire something else. You're using them to acquire different darts, perhaps better darts that you can, you know, insert into your lineup right away. Because the ones that you're throwing at the board now aren't going to make an impact next season. They might not even make an impact this season after. It might be a couple years down the line until you're seeing these guys fully come to fruition. It's not the second overall pick, Andrei Svechnikov, who's going to immediately jump into the lineup and make an impact. That 28th pick is going to take a little bit of time to develop. So the Hurricanes have options, and it's important to consider that this is a team that has put itself in a position to be successful for years down the road, because with 10 picks, that's just incredible ammunition for a team that is just coming off a run to the Eastern Conference Final. You don't see that a lot, having a team, a big club, be that successful and then also have the amount of draft picks that the Hurricanes
yep.
do.
Well, I like your dart analogy. I'm going to go a different route with it. You play poker at all?
I do. I have.
Yeah.
Not very good, but
it doesn't matter. But you understand the basics of it. If you got a whole bunch of chips,
mm-hmm.
you can do a lot more things than guys who don't and women who don't, because poker is for everyone, much
yes.
like sports. That being put on the table, the more chips you have to put in to push around, you can do more things. You can, you know, make a hand seem more valuable than what it is. And just taking a look at the NHL salary cap situation heading into the draft and heading into free agency, there are a lot of teams that are in what we like to call salary cap hell who draft picks to the Carolina Hurricanes. The picks themselves might not be as valuable as the commodity that they are in order to get players from other teams that are in salary cap trouble.
So you're saying if you were to play a chip in a hand, it would be $5. But if you were to give it to somebody else, maybe that value is $10.
Exactly. So my chips to me
mm-hmm.
are worth more to someone else right now. That's right. What the draft chips are for the yep. Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, just taking a look at the top of the salary cap problem board, Vegas, Pittsburgh, Nashville, Arizona somehow, but they'll be fine. When you're talking about,
they took on some contract. Don't they have Chris Pronger's contract or something? I don't know.
I'm fairly certain they might have. Some. They might have the end of Rocket Richard's contract too, and Gordie Howe's. But you go down that list: Arizona, Tampa, Toronto.
I was gonna say Toronto's up there too.
Anaheim, Edmonton, Washington. Those teams. That's your third of the league at the top. They have Washington is the only team with $10 million or more of cap space. Everybody below them is, you know, really up against it or going to be up against it considering what you have to do and what you have to sign. So now what do the Canes do? They can acquire players, established NHL players, for potential. Like a chip sitting in my pile is potential. It's not being used.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm turning into Bill Nye, the science guy.
This one's good. My We're dart going. One sort of ran into a little roadblock, but this one's got some legs.
It's going deep. Didn't mean to do that either, folks. But my chip, it's that potential. Yeah. I can turn because I can bet more with these chips now than if I was just sitting there with I can make my stack bigger. I can make my cards that I'm holding more valuable than what they appear because of those chips.
Yeah. And that's why the Hurricanes are in a good position because they have a good amount of they have if you're looking at the table of NHL teams, they have the most chips along with
yep.
three or four other teams who also
but
have 10 picks.
They're already holding a good hand. The mm-hmm. cards are what you have.
Yeah.
The chips are what you can do with those cards.
Yeah.
So now that's it.
There you go. That's a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
I like that.
Thank you. Well, that's where we are. So I can see, like you say, those four picks in the top 60, yeah, there's a chance that the Hurricanes don't use any of them.
Yeah.
You know, they might move up, move back, and make a pick someplace else, but those picks can turn into players, and we know that the Canes have some needs that we'll get to that will be addressed with some of the questions that are out there.
And ultimately, in the draft, what you're doing is you're taking teenagers, and this is where I think the dart analogy comes into play more so, is
yes.
because you're throwing darts at a board and you're trying to hit bullseye, but it's really impossible to project exactly what's going to happen with teenagers 3, 4, 5 years down the line. You're looking at players who have a toolbox that you might just need to fine tune a couple of those tools, you know, to really develop them into NHL players. But whether you're picking 28, whether you're picking 59, whether you're picking 181 or 216, the Hurricanes have the not the last pick in the draft. That's 217, but they have the 216th pick from New York via Boston. That was last year. The Hurricanes just got rid of their 7th round pick and moved back a year. Whether you're picking there or you're picking 28, you're throwing a dart at the board and you're hoping it lands in bullseye. Now,
yes,
28 pick, it's a late 1st round pick. The Hurricanes, really, I think their best late 1st round pick is Cam Ward. He was picked 25th in 2002. The Hurricanes have picked 28th overall once before, but it was when the 28th pick was in the second round in 1997. They picked Brad Defoe, who scored 2 goals in his NHL debut, only played 9 games. But then you look at who else was picked at 28th in the last 20 or so years, and one name jumps above them all. You'll recognize him, Justin Williams, 28th overall pick in the year 2000. So that's the
in the year 2000.
In the year, exactly. In the year 2000.
Well done. Such a good bit by Conan.
Maybe some other names worth noting. Corey Perry, Matt Niskanen, Nick Foligno, Charlie Coyle, and some newer names that, you know, might play out in the next few. You know, it's tough to say whether
yep.
they'll play out or not. But those are some established names in the last 20 years that have been picked at 28. Again, it's not a player that's going to make an immediate impact because then there are names like Zach Phillips, 28th overall pick from Minnesota in 2011. He's never played in the NHL.
No.
I don't even know if he doesn't even have a hockey reference page. I can't even click on his name. So that's Yeah, he's
I'm just looking to see if Philippe Parody was a 28th.
He was 27th.
There you go. I was one off.
So that was not one of the Hurricanes' more successful late round picks, but that's what happens.
But you can get Justin Williams with the 28th pick.
Correct.
You can get Philippe Parody with the 28th pick. Yep. Just as a point of reference, I'm glad you did that research on it. I did the research as well, as far as from 2010, because it's the last time the Canes really picked.
Mm-hmm.
2009 was the last time they picked at that spot, and that draft was so. I went back to 2010. And the Carolina Hurricanes picks since 2010, I didn't go first round, just second round only. And we'll get to this because I put a poll question up for Canes Cast.
I did see that.
Might be the first ever poll question we put out on the Twitter machine. Best pick since 2010 draft as far as value at the slot that they were picked. Because, you know, you can argue Jeff Skinner with the 7th overall pick, who turned into a 30-goal scorer for this franchise. That was a pretty good pick.
Mm-hmm.
But Justin Falk in that same draft was 37th overall. Before people sneer, snicker, or chortle, Victor Rask was a 42nd overall pick in 2011 and became an NHL player and then became Nino Niederreiter.
Yeah.
So there's value there. Brock McGinn is a 47th overall pick in 2012. Jacob Slavin, who I believe is going to win the 120th pick in 2012. Brett Pesce was the 66th overall pick in 2013. Warren Fogle is a 67th overall pick in 2014. Lucas Walmark was a 97th overall pick in 2014. And Sebastian Aho, who's pretty good at the hockey, is a 35th overall pick. And that was in the 2015 draft. I did not include Andrei Svechnikov on that list as the second overall draft pick last year, but he's been pretty good too.
That's a pretty good one too. But so, yeah, I think when you consider when you're considering the skill and the value of that skill in terms of their draft position, I mean, Jacob Slavin certainly jumps off the page, especially, too, when you look back at his picture from the combine or his first headshot when he's just this, you know, scrawny kid with a sort of curly, poofy hair.
A teenager, if you will.
A teenager, exactly. And then he develops and, you know, fills out that big frame of his and develops into one of the NHL's best defensemen. Future Norris Trophy winner, I would like to think. At least in the conversation. So that's, you know, when you consider value like that, he's probably the winner. But, you know, then there's Sebastian Aho. Then there's Andrei Svechnikov. I mean, yes, second overall pick, you expect him to be phenomenal, and he will be. But yeah, it's Jacob Slavin.
By the way, Twitter only allows 4 slots in a poll question. So when we put this up, and technically it came from my thing, but it's Canes Cast. It's the shared intellectual property of Michael Smith from the web. It's a gem. This, you could use this as your like it, keep it. Although people keep coming to your bull because people keep coming to your rescue. Right, that's why you have one.
Yeah, somebody help me out.
All right. Bull Pucky. Just call that right there. Sebastian Aho has 33% of the vote as the 37th overall pick in 2015. Brett Pesce has 1% of the vote. I thought he would get a little bit more than that.
Sorry, Brett.
With the 66th overall in 13. Justin Falk has 2% with the 37th overall pick in 2010. And yes, Jacob Slavin is the 120th pick. Kind of put this out there as like a no kidding, but at the same time, you look at the value, what they are. Slavin has 64% of the vote. If you did the math, you could figure that out. 466 votes already. Only going to run till 5 o'clock today, so by the time you hear this, the poll will be closed. But thank you all for checking it out. Did ask for other people to name some names. Matthew Herman, our good friend now of this podcast, put Lucas Walmark in 2014, the 97th overall pick, with a good explanation. From the depths of the fourth round to fill a shutdown center that helped the team get in the playoffs when their only NHL veteran center was really out. That's a good one. Then you have, you know, often hard to find late round steal like Slavin, so you got to go with him.
Yeah.
David came out with Sebastian Aho. He's got to be on that one. Andrew, again, went with Slavin. So Slavin's going to be, and that's the pick. I mean, 120th, and as you said, Michael, he is a potential Norris Trophy winner. Right. Should be a Norris Trophy winner.
And, you know, I guess when you, whoa.
Wow, we're getting messages everywhere now.
I guess when you consider
Canes Cast Central.
You know, when you consider late round picks, you could have just as much success, obviously, at 35 as you do at 120. To find somebody like Slavin at 120, to think that 119 other picks went by without his name being called, you know, it's a good find by the Hurricanes scouting staff.
And so is Sebastian Aho when mm-hmm. you consider there were 34 picks taken in front of him. And, you know, the same thing with Justin Falk. There were 36 defensemen taken in front of a guy who is a top, you know, top pairing or, you know, top four defenseman in the National Hockey League. And, yeah. you know, you have to do your due diligence. And it goes back to playing darts. And I've seen you play darts. Sometimes your first throw is not as good as your next throw, Michael.
Sometimes I'm better at shuffleboard. Just depends.
That is true. You are a mean shuffleboard player.
But it goes back to the talk of what you're drafting, and you're drafting purely on potential, what you potentially see in a player. And the Hurricanes saw something they liked in Jacob Slavin to take a flyer on him at 120, because they had made picks before then. Other teams had made picks before then. Something told them, hey, you know, might as well take this guy and see what happens. And, you know, he's turned into arguably the team's best defender.
Yeah.
And that's what it's got to feel good for the scouting staff, especially for the guys who have watched a kid like that for years and have argued on their behalf, saying, you know what, I think there is something here with this kid. Maybe it's just something we have to, a switch we have to flip. Maybe it's a matter of him hitting a growth spurt. Maybe it's a light bulb going, you know, something that will turn them into the player they believe they can be.
I'll use a player who was drafted last year, Luke Henman, who, if you look at Luke Henman, you're like, oh boy, a 30-mile-an-hour wind. Luke, get inside. You know, he needs to put on some weight. Mm-hmm. But the potential of when he fills, because he's got a big frame, you're looking at potential. Like, right. Mike hit that. Michael, you just hit it out of the park. That's exactly what it is.
And
you're looking at potential.
And maybe a guy like Luke Henman doesn't develop. But that's you have way more of those than you do of kids who, you know, actually develop into players who are staples on your team.
I will, with the exception of, and I think the NFL draft has ruined us, because you now expect, if you have 7 picks in the NFL draft, all 7 need to make it or else you had a bad draft, mm-hmm. right? That's I don't know where that happened. But I will look at it the way that you should. If you have 7 picks, 7 rounds. If you have 3 picks, that's less than half. But if you have 3 picks from every draft you ever have, make it to the NHL and play some kind of role, you're drafting really well mm-hmm. if you can do that.
Yep.
So that's what it'll be. It'll be interesting in Vancouver. But I'm now, as we're getting closer to it, I'm looking forward to what's on the outside. The draft itself will be great, and we know who's going at the top of the draft. It's going to be Jack Hughes, and it's going to be Kako Kapo, 1-2, whichever
Hughes.
Way. Exactly.
That sounds French.
Well, if he went to Montreal, that's what they would call him. So, but...
But he's not.
Say no.
Or likely not.
Exactly. May no. But
barring
no.
A trade.
I don't think Montreal's
I don't think so.
Going up there to go get him.
Nope.
And I don't think the jersey's trading out of there.
Nope.
So there are some questions, though, that need to get answered. And in particular, this.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
I know you don't, but you do.
Oh, I do.
Because you've been bailed out again.
My good friend Zach Bradshaw on Twitter.
What does Zach have for us?
When TVR, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and Calvin DeHaan return from injury, the Hurricanes will dress the same 6 defensemen for the majority of next year. If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
All right. I'll keep it, just because we saw that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to change that formula. The coaching staff is, for the most part, going to be the same. And I am going to say I'll keep that one.
Yeah, there is going to be a bit of a different look right at the start of the year, because I don't think Calvin DeHaan in particular.
Well, that's why they say for the majority of the year.
Right. You know, then again, it becomes a question of if a certain player is playing well,
right.
You know, what it's going to be tough to take him out of the lineup. I think there was more chatter last offseason about the Hurricanes potentially moving one of their right-handed defensemen, yep. right-shot defensemen. There doesn't seem to be as much scuttlebutt about that this summer.
Do you know why that happened? Who why needed a right-shot defenseman last year?
Yes.
What team? What city?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that Toronto?
The Santra?
Yeah, the Santra of the hockey universe. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It could still happen because the Hurricanes are still looking for some top six forward help.
Sure.
And they do have arguably a defenseman to spare, you could say.
Sure.
But at the same time, if you can accomplish that in a different way, and hold on to your six defensemen that you know are a solid group of defensemen, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not hang on to them?
There's nothing that I look at last year's defensive pairings and say we need to fix that. Now, that doesn't mean you can't improve, you can't upgrade,
yeah.
But if you're taking away with the mind that we're going to improve the top six, then you better make sure that what you have coming in the pipeline can fill in most of the role that you're trading away.
Right.
That being said, I'm going to borrow.
Okay.
Because you do it all the time. I actually have one of my own, but this one comes from Bobel, 813, and I like him because he actually played by the rules. After putting in the tweet, he then used the hashtag CanesCast.
I've got one for you when you, like an actual one.
I don't believe you. If you like it, you can keep it. Don Waddell pulls off a trade at the draft for a top six forward and keeps the Canes defensive core intact. I will send that back because if you are going to pull a deal for a top six forward, one of your top six defensemen in the NHL is going to be traded for that, the way that the Canes are built. So I'd have to send that back.
Yeah, I would probably do the same.
So
it would be tough unless it's just a glut of draft picks and
two prospects.
Yeah.
It's, two high prospects.
Right. So yeah I'll probably send that
I'm going to send that one back.
But the Hurricanes know, too, that they have Hayden Fleury is a restricted free agent, but Jake Bean had a pretty solid season with Charlotte.
Yep.
He could be an option to play a full-time NHL role. He had some games up here this year.
Yeah, he did.
And looked pretty good.
Sure. So you have that. All right.
I do have one.
This is the shocker.
It's sort of related, and it's what we've talked about basically for the whole podcast so far. The Hurricanes will make 10 picks at the 2019 NHL draft.
I'm going to send that back.
Okay.
They'll trade some.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that they get a player out of this when I say that, but I could see that the Canes move, a player falls down the board, they have the capital enough to move up and go get a guy. That's how I see them doing that. So I could see them trading, I'll just throw a dart, as we've already used that. But the example is the Canes could trade a fourth and a sixth to move up in the back half of the third round in draft.
Yeah. Scouting. Or they have two late sixth round picks. Maybe they just dump one. Like they dumped the seventh round pick last year to a team, New York, that was looking to just snag a player and, move to the seventh round this year. They didn't have a seventh round pick before that, but that could be something that happens too.
Like,
so.
You're done drafting. You got the players you want. Yeah. We're going to trade our seventh round pick this year for a sixth round pick next year.
Right.
One of those.
And pack up your computers and go home.
Time to go home. So, I do not. I will send it back. They are not going to make all 10 picks. Mine to you, and it goes off of our good friend Mike Morial from NHL.com, who he put out a needs for the Metro Division. And for the Carolina Hurricanes, his need is goaltender.
Uh-huh.
And there's Spencer Knight, who's at the top of the board from the United States National Development Team. He said that Spencer Knight is going to be, a player that the Canes would have interest in. And, of course, that's a need, and we've been talking about the Canes and the luxury they don't have to draft need. But with one of those first four picks, so first and then three in the second, the Canes will use that on a goaltender.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. That's a position I think that, even if you don't, it's always good to perhaps restock at that position because, they are so...
Unpredictable. That's the most amazing thing to me, that in everything in sports, how it's now measured to the nano degree, Smitty, they can't figure out how to draft goalies in the NHL.
And they're in need, too. I mean, you're always, at some point, at some level, going to need to develop somebody. So, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be safe to say, depending on how free agency plays out,
right,
Hurricanes are going to need a goaltender.
And that's going to be one of the more interesting storylines that we've talked about before on this podcast is, while the Hurricanes do have options at goaltender, which is a bit different than in years past, they do have question marks still at that position because both Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney are probably due raises. So it's a question of if they get to free agency, if they find an offer that's more suitable elsewhere. There's some question marks there that'll have to be answered here in the upcoming weeks.
Pretty good point there about the goaltenders there, Michael Smith.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As somebody who has watched you score goals on me in the Hurricanes media game, I know you know the value of a goaltender.
I had forgotten about that until you just now mentioned it. I'm looking forward to that once again this year, assuming it's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't know if I can... If I got the splits in me anymore.
I was going to say.
Which that was a highlight one year, as somebody said, you realize you did the splits. I don't think about it, because if I do, then my body would just seize up.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Is there photo evidence?
Yes. Yeah. There's quite a bit of it.
Yeah. Love it.
Won the first year, and since then I've been bested by Shane Willis. One year I wasn't here. You know, it's kind of like just left the game for a little bit.
Yeah, just stepped away to, reflect and...
refocus on
right
the finer things in life.
Exactly.
Wasn't that I didn't want to play in the game, but I guess you have to cover the team to play in the game. That's
prerequisite,
some technicality. Whatever. All right, well, we've got some questions to get to. There of course is a lot of free agent questions that are going to be out there. We could put this in the segment we just did, but I am instead going to just throw this out just a kind of preface as we get into the listener questions. How many big-name free agents do you think we are actually going to see come July 1st? Because one of the biggest names off the board, or on the board, is off the board now in Erik Karlsson. Mm-hmm. One of the other big names, Jeff Skinner, who we know Canes fans know well, and the fans in Buffalo are going to know for 8 years, give or take, depending on how that contract works out. By the way, same thing with Erik Karlsson's contract. If you take a look, like the last 2 years, the base salary is nothing. It's all signing bonus that you get into. But the question is, how many of these big names do we think are actually going to make it to July 1st? And for me, I don't think we're going to see a ton of big names that are out there. We'll see some of the older guys, maybe. The guys on the other side of 30, like, 32, 33. But I don't think we're going to see any of the young, really valuable guys who can become unrestricted free agents hit that open market.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see it too often these days. And when you do, there's always, just a couple of teams, I feel like, truly in the mix for the player. Like when you look at last year and John Tavares, like it was clear there were only a couple teams in the running for his services. And ultimately the Santra won out.
Yes.
You just don't see it a lot nowadays because teams like to lock in that young talent that they have. And it leads to a day that's, I think, annually overhyped, July 1st.
Yes.
A lot of maybe foolish money. Maybe not foolish, but hasty money spent.
Yes.
Whereas a team like the Hurricanes have never really been a July 1st team, and I don't see that changing. You look back at last year, they signed Peter Mrazek, which turned out to be one of the team's best offseason acquisitions, and they might have to, dip into the free agent market again, for a goaltender, should re-signings with either Mrazek or McElhinney not work out in their favor. I don't know how big of a day it's actually going to be. I always feel like, each year there's always that promise of the buildup and everything, and then it's just kind of like, it's just another day.
It is. I just wish it would be another day. I hate what it's become. And it has become, if somebody signs somebody, the initial reaction is, oh, you overpaid for them. And if your team doesn't sign somebody, we're cheap and we didn't do anything. Well, you can't have this day be both. It's one or the other. If you want one of these guys, you're going to overpay if they hit the market. And, you know, you can try to sneak in some good players. Like last year, the Carolina Hurricanes getting Calvin DeHaan, as we've already chronicled several times, after July 1st. Like, if you can wait out that wave, you can find players, and they're not going to be the huge splashy names, because the huge splashy names know where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
They know where they want to go. We know what the offers are on the table for them. Rare does somebody swoop in at the last minute who we never saw and grab a guy. But when it comes to free agency, usually the guys are going to big market clubs or clubs with huge money or a club right now that has the chance of winning it all. It's like, that's it. You don't see teams really sneak in unless they overpay. And I expect a few guys know where they want to go play. You know, the Florida Panthers are in play for them, as we've heard all year long. The New York Rangers are always in play. You know, the one team that surprises me that's never in play for big name free agents, and maybe I'm going to go East Coast bias here, although they got a big free agent last year and it didn't work out, the LA Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I would figure that would be a team that would always be in the running for a big name free agent. You hardly ever hear them linked to anybody.
Play hockey and live in Santa Monica? Sign me up.
Yeah,
I'm in.
I know. What? You're going to pay me to play and live here?
Right. It's like, I have to imagine.
Like a third of your check because of all of the taxes in California. And remember, we do have to take those things into account.
Yes, you do.
Players take that into account.
I do have to imagine, though, if you're a baseball player, a Major League Baseball player, and you're playing for the San Diego Padres, that's got to be a pretty good gig, living in San Diego and playing professional ball. Now, granted, it is not a cheap place to live. Good cost of living does not apply to San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. But
quality of life, I have to imagine, is pretty good.
It's you wake up every day and go surfing if you want to. Although in your contract, you probably don't. All right, you want to get to some of these questions here, my
friend? Here's a question from Lee Phillips. He says, let's say both goalies walk. Who else is out there?
First off, great question. Second off, that's tip of the cap and wag of the finger. Sorry, Stephen Colbert. I don't know if that's still your bit, but I haven't seen you do it on the Late Show. Great question by Lee Phillips. Didn't use the hashtag CanesCast. Don't reward that right away in the question segment, Michael.
Well, he replied. That's good enough.
All right. Good.
That's a good question. And
there's the standards of our show.
He replied to the tweet.
That's what I love. There's our standards. He replied. Who else is out there? A few of the names, and I happened to look this up a little bit earlier. Cam Talbot is out there. I don't know if that is an attractive choice for some people, but the guy who was supposed to be the number one for Edmonton, he had one solid year, the year they went to the playoffs, but he's available. You've got Robin Lehner, who's up for the Vezina Trophy this year with the New York Islanders. He's available. I don't know if that's a guy who I would want to bring here because everything worked for him with the Island, and this is a guy with a long and checkered past. And yes, he's got it figured out, but I think that's one where if I'm Robin Lehner, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to play for the Islanders, and the Islanders should want him to play for him, but he could be available come July 1st.
Mitch Korn, he works wonders on goaltenders.
He is the goaltender whisperer. It's amazing.
And the Hurricanes, we should mention, too, in the market for a goaltending
coach, yes.
After Mike Bales left for an assistant position in Buffalo.
Keith Kincaid is out there, who Columbus picked up. You know, Keith Kincaid, and we have no idea what the goaltender situation is going to be for the Hurricanes. We know that Don Waddell said at the year-end press conference that the perfect thing would be to have both Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney back.
Yeah. Know,
that's the preference. But I see Keith Kincaid kind of in that same window that Peter Mrazek was in, a guy who was a number one, you know, had gotten to the playoffs before. Things kind of got crowded, a numbers game, and he ends up with another team. And, you know, it didn't necessarily work out great in Columbus, didn't work out bad. But, you know, he's going to be looking to prove he can be a number one again. I think he definitely hits the open market, depending on what happens with Sergei Bobrovsky. And, of course,
I mean,
he's the number one guy out there. But
right. He's the headliner of the goaltending crew. I think Semyon Varlamov is sort
available.
Of closely behind him. Mike Smith, I share a name with him.
Are you signing here or no?
Well, I mean, if the Hurricanes will have me, I'll be here. I didn't realize Mike Smith is 37.
Yeah, he's old, like me. Well, I'm way older than him. Michael Neuvirth, who, if he could ever stay healthy, he shows glimpses that he could be really good. But again, a lot of injuries with Neuvirth throughout his career that lead you to have some concern. Calvin Pickard, who was the other goaltender that Toronto let go last year, waived last year to try to, you know, sneak him through, and it didn't. Pickard's available. He was supposed to be the goalie of the future in Colorado. Toronto liked him a little bit, but he's a guy who I think the age works out right, too, for Pickard. He's only 27, so he's somebody you could look at. And other than that, you're not looking at anybody who you can turn around and say that's somebody who we would try to take a chance. There are a couple of guys. I mean, Bobrovsky is the headliner, but you're paying probably Carey Price money for Sergei Bobrovsky.
What I'll be interested in is if both Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney end up leaving the Hurricanes, I would have to imagine that Alex Nedeljkovic is firmly in that spot to be one of the two goaltenders here next season. So then is it bringing in a veteran guy? And I guess, you know, most of those names we just listed off are veteran goaltenders. They're not strangers to this game. Do you bring in a true veteran to sort of mentor Alex Nedeljkovic and bring him along? Who's your starting goaltender? There are a lot of questions that the Hurricanes are going to have to answer if both Mrazek and McElhinney choose to test the open market and maybe snag a deal elsewhere. Also, Cam Ward's available.
Yes, he is.
But I'll be, maybe he retires.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on that. That's his call, but he's got two options in my mind. He can go to a place that thinks that they could use a backup mentor and thinks they're good enough to win a cup, because that's what he's going for. That's the only thing now that's left in his career, to get his name on the Stanley Cup one more time, or calls it a career. Mm-hmm. So those, and I'm just saying, if I was him, those are the two options that I would have.
That sounds about right. He's 36. He's 35. Sorry, Cam. Added a year. Or if you're truly keeping track, he's like 4. Since he's a leap year baby.
Do the leap year thing, really?
Or is he 5 now? 4?
I don't. It's a terrible pun.
Or 8?
It's a terrible joke.
I'm terrible at math.
I hate that joke.
I think he's 8.
So much. No, he's not.
I think so. I think he's 8.
He doesn't exist, okay?
He's not real.
He was born on a day that is not there, 3 years out of 4.
Yeah.
So, is that better?
It's strange.
He's mystical.
Calendar's a strange thing.
It's beyond me. I don't even follow the calendar anymore, Michael.
You just, whatever the calendar says.
Like, is today the 17th? Maybe, sure.
Allegedly.
Yeah. You know, I used to know, like, how many days were in every month. I don't know anymore.
Mm.
The only month I know that definitely has 31 days is July. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And a few others.
Sure. I couldn't tell you. Christmas. Right? December, that's the 25th, and then New Year's Eve is the 31st. So I threw out Christmas as a month. That should tell you exactly how much I care about.
The months are now Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Just start naming them by holidays.
4th of July or Independence Day, if you want. August doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's just out there.
Yeah.
There's probably a day.
September is Memorial Day.
Labor Day.
Labor
May
Day.
Is more Memorial
May is,
Day.
That's right, yeah. May is. I don't even know. I know I get a day off for them. So, although I do care more about Memorial Day than Labor Day, but I've always flipped them my entire life.
Yeah.
There you go. So now what you found out, I don't care about the calendar.
Holidays
anymore.
On Canescast. Hit us with your best holiday questions.
I follow the Chinese calendar now. It's like the year 49,000, right?
It's the year of the pig.
Exactly. It almost was.
Yep.
So, are we good with that? And all this comes from a guy who didn't even use the hashtag. Thanks, Lee. Good question.
Yeah, I guess these next two use the hashtag, but that's a good question.
It was a great question. I'm just saying. We have rules, much like we have calendars.
Calendars. And
days
holidays.
Of the week and months. whatever. It's got me this far in life.
Evan Johnson. Are there any plans for another series similar to Inside the Storm? Really enjoyed watching it last summer when it followed the draft and the rest of the offseason. Yes.
Yep.
There are plans. That's about all we can say.
Yeah. That's all we're at liberty to say.
There are plans, so stay tuned for that. Hopefully. And you saw a couple of episodes throughout the season as well. I believe there was one from the mentors trip in February. So, yeah, you will be seeing more of that in the coming months.
All right.
Christopher, hi.
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 Hi. Hi.
Are there any updates on off-season contract talk? No.
No.
No, not right now. I know, you know, the big one is obviously Sebastian Aho's contract extension. I believe it's going to be later rather than sooner, based on what I've heard from Don Waddell. But that can always change in one simple conversation. But it's a matter of when, not if, in that situation. So nothing new to report as of right now with that or any of the other outlying contracts for the Hurricanes.
Well, a good follow-up question from Aiden Calhoun, Metal Caniac fan. What do you think is a fair offer to give Sebastian Aho, considering he is an RFA? It's going to be a lot to measure this one by. I could sit there and easily tell you, you could look at the William Nylander contract. We could wait and see what Mitch Marner gets from Toronto. I know that the front office doesn't want to hear this. You could look at what Jeff Skinner got from the Buffalo Sabres and what he was able to do. I don't know. I'm not in the business of saying that this is the offer, but what market value would dictate is the term is going to be somewhere seven or eight years,
yeah.
And the money is going to be somewhere around $8 million,
yeah.
If I would guess. Now, you could go shorter. You could do the Austin Matthews deal, not that deal dollar for dollar, but a shorter deal at, you know, maybe not $9 or $8 million, but a little bit less, but then you roll the dice that he becomes an unrestricted free agent at 26 as opposed to 29 if you do a 5 or a 6 year deal along those lines. But I mean, I think this is one you can put him in between a bunch of contracts right now and say that that's fair for Sebastian Aho and see what he gets.
Yeah, it's going to come together, and I do believe it's going to be longer term.
Yeah.
8 years sounds about right.
Yep.
And it's going to be somewhere in the, I would say, 7 to 9 million range, I think, is a nice little range per year. If you would have talked to him in October or November, you probably would have had maybe an inch closer to 10 million per year the way he started off the season. Kind of finished the season a little slow, was playing through a lower body injury at one point. But I think 7 to 9 million is probably the landing spot for Sebastian Aho. He's going to be a member of the Carolina Hurricanes for a long time. It's something he wants. It's something the Hurricanes want. So it's going to get done.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of time. Kate Merrill, what would you like to see the Canes do to improve the power play? Well, for me, this one, yeah, that usually helps. I think that she's going more along the lines of tactics and personnel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, we'll just go personnel. I'd love to see them add a great distributor of the puck.
Yeah. I really think that's what the first power play unit is kind of missing. Justin Faulk, he's going to shoot the puck.
Mm-hmm.
Dougie Hamilton is going to shoot the puck.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of need somebody who can quarterback the power play.
I was going to say, you have the shooters, you need the quarterback, and the quarterback can come from anywhere. It could be the other point guy, it could be somebody you put on the half wall and change it. And, you know, Rod Brind'Amour has said it during his first year, tenure as a coach, everybody pretty much does the same thing. They really do. I wouldn't mind seeing, if we're just spitballing ideas here, for the Canes to use a setup kind of like what the Capitals do with Alex Ovechkin. And you have Dougie Hamilton, you have Justin Faulk, you have Andrei Svechnikov, three guys with really good shots, above average shots. Just put them in the garden spot, you know, the OV spot as it's now known, and let it rip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's going there. That's the amazing thing about the Caps. You know it's going there on the power play, and it still gets there, and he still shoots it. Of course, he is a generational talent. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Maybe the best goal scorer this league has ever seen. From the standpoint of, we know he's going to shoot it, And that's what he does. He's not going to – I don't know if he catches Gretzky or not. I didn't think that was ever possible, but he might.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things because of that shot. And the Canes have a couple of guys who can do that. So we'll see that. Mm-hmm. But for me, just adding one more player who can move that puck through the box and get it, you know, from one side of the ice to the other to a guy who's waiting to shoot it.
I agree.
Oh, good.
And hopefully more goals will come from that.
That's it.
That's the ultimate goal.
That's it. And don't be afraid to shoot it more.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about a distributor, but
bodies in front of the net.
Yeah. You need a guy who is don't pass up the shot for the oh, this is the better pass and he's wide open on the back. No. Just if you get it in the lanes there, throw it on.
Yeah.
Which by the way, that is preached almost every practice. And Michael Smith and I are at pretty much every other practice. Not every other practice. We're at every practice.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to get into?
I don't see any other questions. Oh, I got a bunch. Do you have some?
There's still some, buddy.
Okay. I must have missed them.
You did. That's okay. Not all of them used the hashtag, and that's fine. This from Will Bradshaw. We had Zach. Oh. Now we have Will. For free agency, who do you think is the biggest name that is moving this summer and the biggest name that will pull a Stamkos and draw up a lot of hoopla and then end up staying put?
Well, we just had that one.
I was going to say, before today, I would have told you it's Erik Karlsson is going to draw the attention of everybody in the universe, and then he will just stay with San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who's the biggest name that's moving this summer, depends on what you think the value of the name. Probably Sergei Bobrovsky is the biggest name.
Yeah, he's a big one.
And he's moving.
I mean, I don't see him pulling a Stamkos and staying with Columbus. No. I think that ship has kind of sailed. So
yeah, I think that's the best name that's moving, or the biggest name that's moving. Matt Duchene, I think, although he said that he liked Columbus, and if you're Columbus, you've got to keep one of these guys.
Yeah, he would hope one of the players you acquired might want to stick around.
So that's a big name that's out there. Joe Pavelski in San Jose.
You can basically list Columbus's roster. They've got some of the biggest ones.
And San Jose.
Yeah, and San Jose.
They've got some guys who you're looking at, too. But I think Bobrovsky and Panarin are out of Columbus.
Yeah.
And then the question is, where do they go and for how much? And those are going to be the guys July 1st who you're going to look at the contract and go, whoa, okay.
Yep.
That's a lot of money right there. So that's it. I'd like to see Wayne Simmonds in a different jersey.
Mm.
And he's an unrestricted free agent. Just saying, not saying, not tampering. It's a podcast. We can say what we want to say.
Yeah, we can say whatever.
Although this is where we do say we work for the team, and then the caveat, they don't tell us anything.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know anything.
I mean, sometimes they tell us things, but it's usually not important.
Then Mr. Mustache follows up with the San Jose signing of Erik Karlsson to the big deal. I wonder if Timo Meier is a bit more available. What would it take, and how great of a fit would he be? Also, Donskoy. I think Jonas Donskoy is a guy who you can get because he's available. He is going to be unrestricted come July 1st. Mm-hmm. He's a good get, and I think he'd be a good fit with the Carolina Hurricanes. Age and term and contract I think would be really good for this team. Timo Meier is a hell of a hockey player. What would it take to get him? I don't know. I don't know how San Jose values him. And that we play the what-if, the fantasy GM game. So anything else on that one?
Nope.
All right. You don't like talking about players who are under contract. You've really bought into that we shouldn't.
Yeah, we shouldn't. No, I don't care. Okay. I was going to tell a story about how I got in trouble once, but no, that didn't happen.
That would be great if you did.
I'm just going to make it up.
That would be great if you did. Got called down to the principal's office.
It's just it's a fun game to play to imagine what players could be, but I don't know if anybody projected that Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland were going to be Hurricanes last year.
We love the questions. So please, anybody who's listening to the Canes cast right now.
It's a fun cranial exercise.
But at the same time, I don't cringe, but I hesitate to play this game now for a bunch of reasons. One of which, you know, you and I are in the employ as it stands here. What day is it? Because, you know, I told you I don't.
It's the 17th of June.
How many more days are left in this month?
13.
Yeah, okay, so that's somewhat important to my standing.
That's fast math.
I should know that, but I don't. That being said, I don't like to play this game for two reasons. We're employed by the Carolina Hurricanes as of the standing of June 17th. And second, I don't know who's going to be available. Yeah. As I said, most of these guys get signed
right
before we hit to before we hit July 1st.
Yeah, I mean, we could have recorded the podcast this morning and had it outdated by the afternoon with the Erik Karlsson news. So
indeed,
good thing we waited on that.
We have one more for you. This is for Sam for Canes 20. The Hurricanes do not pick 28th. This is a like it, take it, but we'll turn it into a question. The Hurricanes do not pick 28th, either due to trading up in the draft or trading the pick in a deal to bring in an impact player. So saying the Canes do not pick 28th. They move out of that spot.
I think they pick 28th.
Yeah, I think they use that
pick. I think it's one of the second-round picks maybe where some action happens, but I feel like they're going to make the 28th pick. It's going to be late in the draft. It's going to be late here on the East Coast by the time the Hurricanes are up for that 28th pick. The draft starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time, so you can, I don't know, you might have to look back at last year to see what time that was. The Hurricanes got it over with quick last year. It was awesome, taking Svechnikov second. But 28th is a long way to go.
Yeah, but you're going to be in Vancouver, so...
Right, it's
it'll
gonna be
only
even
be,
earlier.
It'll only be like 8 o'clock for you.
I think it's probably, I would put the odds of the Hurricanes moving up more likely than the Hurricanes getting rid of the 28th pick. And that's simply on pure speculation. That's just bad. That's what I'm thinking in my head is I would say it's probably more likely the Hurricanes move up than they do getting rid of the pick.
You heard it right here. Michael Smith says the Canes are moving up in the draft and they're going to take Jack Hughes.
Yep. You heard it.
J'accuse.
J'accuse. That's what people are going to do to me for saying these things.
And again, that's the other reason why I'm kind of hesitant with this because of our role and with this. We hope you enjoy the Canes cast, and we try to be factual and informational for you. But I truly, when we're asked, hey, what do you think of this or what do you think of that, and we're just giving an opinion. It's not something that is a statement of fact.
Yeah.
And I know today we've been asked a lot of journalism questions this year, like on Twitter about, you know, how do you do this? I know that in today's world that someone can hear this and take it as, oh, Michael Smith, who's the web's Michael Smith and a gem, said this, and therefore that's news. And it's not. It's just given the opinion here on the on the old podcast.
Yeah. Don Waddell has never called me and asked for my opinion on anything.
No. He is.
And probably won't, and it's a very smart decision by him.
He has never called me, and in fact, in our interactions, he has never once asked me my opinion on anything hockey-related. Again, smart on his part.
It's a savvy veteran move.
Very much so.
To not ask any opinions.
You don't want that stink on you. Just wanted to make that crystal clear. So that's how it goes. You're heading to Vancouver. Are you excited?
I am excited.
I know.
I love Vancouver.
And you're going to go to Vancouver in the summertime, so it's going to be completely different for you.
All new experiences.
Pretty much.
I'm going to go to Meat and Bread, though. Canescast listeners know Meat and Bread is delicious. Right.
So I had a good conversation this week.
Okay.
And this is where we say goodbye to Bill Bernstein.
See you later, Billy.
Strength and conditioning coach of the Carolina Hurricanes.
One of my favorite listeners, by the way.
Yes. Did Bill you guys Bernstein. Fight finally or no?
Well, you can ask him.
Still in the works? All right. I was going to defend you, but I realized there's no getting in between you and that raging bull.
I wouldn't recommend it.
But I was asked this about, oh, you travel around a lot, so, you know, do you get to, and everybody thinks that we have all this time and we can go to all of these, oh, this city has that restaurant, you go there, and I'm like, if our hotel is here and that's on the other side of town, no, probably not.
I like my venues within walking distance.
But the one thing that was brought up for me, because somehow I have gotten the label of the foodie of the group.
What?
But I am. By the way, there's a commercial that has that, and I immediately think of you. I don't know if you've heard it. It was on during the U.S. Open this week. What?
Yeah, it's the walruses or the – I forget what it is.
No, it's not the walrus and goal.
It's not the walrus and goal. It's animals. They're
yes.
Yeah. I know. I can picture what it is. Can't put my finger. Right. But I – yeah.
But anyway – so we get asked this all the time, and I get, you know, where do you go? And I said, it's great, and we have lots of great spots on the road. I go, but there's a problem is when you go on the road, you start to go, oh, this is my favorite, and I can only get it in this city. So every time we go to these places, we go back to the same places.
Right.
And they're like, well, I said, and I'm kind of more for, well, we can go to someplace new, but you usually always get outvoted because if we're going in a group, you usually always get outvoted. No, we know what we have here, so we're going to go there instead of someplace new.
Yep.
So I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I'm not. I'm not going to go to Meat and Bread.
Well, neither am I. But we now, after you, my first year traveling on the Western Canadian portion of the trip, which was two seasons ago, because I missed the Western Canadian portion the first year that I was in this role. When I'm like, oh, there's a Meat and Bread in Calgary, and I said it to you like three times, and you didn't respond.
For some
to
reason,
it
just didn't register.
And then we were walking to lunch, and you're like, oh, there's a Meat and Bread here in Calgary. I'm like, I told you that three times.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's just delicious.
It is delicious. It's fantastic. And there's one. And there's one in Vancouver too, right? Yes, because we walked to it.
There's multiple in Vancouver.
So Vancouver,
Calgary,
Seattle,
I believe now.
Yes,
and,
but there's. None in Edmonton.
Another small town in, there might be one in Saskatoon. I don't know. There's one in a small town in Canada.
Well, there you have it.
Might be Saskatoon.
So.
I don't mean to call them a small town in Canada.
And, folks, there are some places on the road that are just so good, and we only get to go there once a year, that you go back to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that plays out. Understood.
Well, and it's just, it's like you're saying, these places that exist in this one city, you want to be able to enjoy that when you're there.
Barbie Barn
is one of those in Montreal.
Yes.
Rubens, also in Montreal.
Yes.
Montreal's got some good spots.
Yes.
And luckily we go there more than once on occasion.
This year it's only going to be once, though.
Yeah.
So
there you That'll all change once Seattle comes into the league, but that's another Meat and Bread location, Seattle.
So you'll do that three different
times.
Cities.
Calgary, Vancouver, and Seattle.
All right, so we're clear.
And then I'm just going to open one in North Carolina and completely change the game.
You want to franchise it?
I would be open to it. We just got to talk to our Meat and Bread contacts.
We can do that.
Maybe they can sponsor Cane's Gas.
Hey, if you're listening, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And we will get paid in Meat and Bread.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Where do we?
I can't wait. We'll walk into our hotel room with 55 sandwiches.
Oh, my goodness.
Delicious.
I'd be set.
Yes. You'd only eat half of one, though. You've lost a lot of weight, Michael.
Well, but I still eat sandwiches. And Meat and Bread sandwiches, I'm not shying away from those. I will have at least one in Vancouver.
Well, you should. You're going to have a few days there, right? You're going to have Friday, Saturday, and then you come back. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to have
at least one lunch, perhaps two. We'll see.
See, but like that's my thing. Like if we're going to spend like multiple days in a city, we should try something.
Right.
New.
I mean, that's
even if I'm with you this year to go to these cities.
I should probably just go to Meat and Bread once and then try somewhere else for another lunch. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Stay tuned on Twitter and Instagram. And
maybe you'll be doing this with Bill Burniston and you'll never talk about food ever again on the Cane's Cast.
Well, look, food's always going to be a staple of Cane's Cast.
It should be. By the way, on a
food
scale.
Food and Star Wars, because the first 9 episodes of this podcast were Star Wars titles.
And,
9? 8?
And, yeah.
9.
9.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on episode 9.
Yeah.
And Christmas.
So is the first.
Are you actually going to go see episode 9 with your coworkers this time or no?
Well, it depends. Depends where we are. And
we were on the road the last time, and you could have gone with us, and
yes,
you didn't.
But I had tickets with, and so then I went with, and we saw the film.
That's understood.
The picture, motion picture.
Did not go with Anne. So understood. But you could have gone with us and seen it. You've seen it multiple times.
You know, I don't know if I've seen it all the way through a second time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe once. Right. Maybe I haven't seen it the third time. You know what I do have tickets to is Toy Story 4.
Oh.
For after we return from the draft.
All right. Yeah, and I saw Avengers Endgame.
Oh.
Finally caught up on that. So I'm all caught up on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, too.
And then Lion King is next month. Disney's just going to make...
Yeah, I'm not going to go see a Lion King.
Between all their Marvel movies and Toy Story 4 and Lion King and, oh, yes, also
Aladdin.
Star Wars
and
Aladdin,
yeah.
They're just going to make so much money this year.
Really? Disney making a lot of money. Stop the presses. Somebody might want to buy stock in that company.
Yeah, might be a good time.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. They're sticking around for a little bit.
Scale of 1 to 10, how mad is Bill Burniston at the end of this edition of the Cane's Cast?
He's at least an 11.
I would go with a 46.
These go to 11. You're not going to see Lion King?
No.
Why not?
Because I saw the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I don't need to see the live animated or the live action, mm-hmm. even though I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Yes.
But no, I've already told you the story, and I've already let in the secret that I don't care that time is nothing to me anymore. Like, date and time and calendar means right. very little to me. And part of that is because I've worked in sports forever. So, like, when people mark days, I'm like, when we were in the playoffs, did you know what day it was? No. Game day or no game day?
Game day or no game day. There's no days of the week. It's
And I've had to work on holidays. So, like, I've had a Christmas on, like, the 27th of December because, you know, I had to work on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. So
that's why the month of December is now just known
it's
as
just
Christmas.
As Christmas month to me. And October? October's October because my is born in October.
Oh, okay.
So that's not Halloween.
Not Halloween.
That's birthday.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, that's fair.
Here, all right, we're clear on that. All right, that'll do it mercifully. And I had a Disney and I don't get along.
Oh.
I've never been to Disney World. That's
me
one.
Neither. I don't have any desire to, honestly.
But I'm old again, mm-hmm. referencing that it's the fourth time. You just I think set me up for this. Disney went on that run, remember, in the late 80s, early 90s of all of those animated movies. And there was like, set your watch to it. If I took my girlfriend at the time to one of those Disney movies, the next day I was going to be single again.
Oh.
So, yes. So, Disney.
So, you and Disney don't see eye to
eye. I don't. I mean, fine movies and all. I mean, I don't hate the movies. I just hate the result.
That's fair.
Also, I want to love the movie Heat, but I had an ex-girlfriend ruin that movie for me.
No.
I waited my life to see Pacino and De Niro sit down and have that scene, and it's an incredible scene, and I just couldn't wait for the movie to be over.
Well.
That story will never come out in public, folks, just so you know.
I was going to say, it's
never.
Probably
you
not.
You got no chance of ever hearing that. You have no chance of hearing that story.
I hope people have stuck around this long.
No, they've gone. That's why I felt comfortable to say that.
There are only like five people still here, and they're like, why are they still talking?
These are the true heroes, the true friends of the Canes Cast.
I mean, how long? We've been talking for over an hour, and people are still here listening to us just babble on about nothing.
Wow.
At least that's what we're assuming.
Hey, people love Seinfeld, and that's what that show is about, and that was on for what, 9 years?
It was on for a while.
You could put up with 9 minutes of this.
I watched some Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee yesterday.
It's always good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. That's all
going?
I had to add.
Keep going or put the brakes on this thing?
Yeah, I guess we should. Speaking of cars, we should probably put the brakes on and let the people go. We've talked long enough. These people have more important things to do than listen to us.
All right. So
carry on.
Will you be back Monday, or should we do a Tuesday edition of the Canes Cast?
It might be a Tuesday edition.
Don't forget, next week, what else? We bring it back to hockey. Next week, the prospect development camp will be at PNC Arena. So we'll have some prospect development to talk about, maybe some prospects to talk with.
Yes.
So on Tuesday, we'll take the Monday off. We'll give Michael the time to readjust from West Coast time to East Coast time, and we will have for you episode 95 of the Canes Cast. But that'll do it for this edition, episode 94, Babylon.
That's it. That's what we're calling it.
For the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
I'm not going to go see Aladdin or The Lion King.
But I will. Well, not Aladdin. I didn't see Aladdin, but I will see Lion King.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.